Hello and welcome to another edition of the WCU Podcast Podcast. My name is Josh Thompson, and I am flying solo for the first half of this edition of the podcast, and we are excited to introduce you to a new format for the show that we think is really going to benefit you, the listener, and us as hosts as we kind of reel everything in and make everything a bit more concise and programmatic as we move forward here. So, starting this week, we'll be debuting this new format as we start with This Week at Western. So, whether you are a current student here, a future student, alumni. Hopefully you'll find some benefit in this as we go through everything that's happening at Western Carolina this week. So if you're on campus, you're welcome to add any of these events to your calendar. And of course, all of these events can be found at events.wcu.edu. That's the official site of the online calendar for Western Carolina University. So after the This Week at Western, we'll do a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back with our Spotlight of the Week. We're still working on a kind of a catchy name for the Spotlight of the Week. If you have any suggestions, please let us know. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCUpodcasts. You can also find us on Twitter and like us on there, and that is twitter.com/WCUpodcasts, as well as our official website, podcasts.wcu.edu. So if you think of anything great that we can call kind of our Western Spotlight, where we go through, and that's the traditional how podcasts has been formatted in the past, where we do our student spotlight or staff spotlight or athletic reviews or things of that nature, that'll be the meat of the show as we do This Week in Western to kind of open so you know what's going on, and then do the commercial break, and then follow, of course, with our spotlight and with our kind of special dive into and deep analysis of what's going on or student life or what have you. So the kind of the great programming elements that you're used to from the podcast. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with This Week in Western. So starting today, Monday, March the 7th, there's one event going on campus, and that is in the Recital Hall of the Coulter Building, and that's the Mountain Winds Concerts. If you're looking for some musical break today, that'll be going on from 7:30 to 9:30, again, in the Recital Hall of the Coulter Building. And that's the only thing on the calendar for today here at Western Carolina University. Tomorrow, however, there are two events on the calendar. First is a baseball team is hosting Presbyterian. The Blue Hose are coming to town for a game, and that would be at Hinnon Stadium, and that's going to take place starting at 4 o'clock and running through about 7. Also tomorrow from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Recital Hall in the Coulter Building, United Sound Recital is going to be performing, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. Moving on now to Wednesday, March the 9th, also, and you can tell this is a very musical week here at Western, the Horn Studio Recital is taking place at the Recital Hall in the Coulter Building from 7:30 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday. And that's it for Wednesday. As we move into Thursday, there is a doubleheader softball game as well as an entertainer through LMP. The softball game, softball is going to be taking on SIUE, and that's in a doubleheader from 4 to 6 and 6 to 8. That is, of course, taking place at the Catamount Softball Field. And then kind of rounding out Thursday night from 7 to 9, Last Minute Productions presents hypnotist Eric Mina. If you are not familiar with Eric, he has pursued a bachelor's degree in psychology from Penn State and has a certification as a hypnotherapist. He's done everything from playing mind tricks in Australia through reading thoughts in Las Vegas and performing comedy hypnosis in Times Square. Eric has been worldwide, and he's bringing his show here to the University Center Grand Room Thursday, March the 10th from 7 to 9 p.m., so make sure you check that out. Anytime LMP brings a hypnotist here, they're always usually very good. Also, one more thing that is going to be taking place on Thursday, March 10th from 7:30 to 9:30. If hypnotist isn't really your thing, you may prefer the Derek Carr Irish Dancers. This is a postmodern dance converted long ago where you combine a couple of different dancing styles, mixed style modern, basic ballet, and a touch of tap. And Derek Carr's kind of building this modern dance and is bringing it to Western Carolina for the evening. And that is going to be at the Bardo Arts Center. So again, that's 7:30 to 9:30 at the Bardo Arts Center. On Friday, just a couple of events going on, starting with the LMP Movie of the Week. At the University Center Theater on the third floor there, we'll be airing The Good Dinosaur, one of the latest films from Pixar. So if you haven't seen The Good Dinosaur, it's super cute. Definitely a lot of fun. It stars an Apatosaurus named Arlo as he meets an unlikely human friend named Spot. Showtimes are at 7 o'clock and 10 o'clock on Friday, as well as throughout the weekend. Admission is free for everybody because it's Catamount Family Weekend. So typically it's $2 and $4 or $3 and $5, depending on the show. But this weekend, the Good Dinosaur is free because it's Catamount Family Weekend. So that includes your popcorn and a drink, and the box office will open 30 minutes prior to showtime. And that's it for Friday. As we move into the rest of the weekend, there's several events going on. March the 12th is Saturday, and the first thing going on that day is a doubleheader for softball. We mentioned they had one earlier in the week against SIUE. Well, they take on the Radford here at home at the Catamount Softball Field with a doubleheader beginning at 2 p.m., and then moving right along. And if you haven't had a chance, this is some of our softball team's first home games of the year, and they have been red hot. And they played number 9, the University of Georgia Bulldogs, this past weekend, and had a really good showing in the tournament down there. So definitely make sure you check out our Catamount softball team as they take on Radford in the doubleheader on Saturday. As I mentioned, they are really, really off to a hot start, the best start in program history. So we look forward to continue to see the success of the Catamount softball team. Also, as mentioned earlier, from 7 to 10 p.m., the Good Dinosaur will show again in the University Center Theater. Excuse me, that's at 7 and 10 p.m., and that'll be taking place on Saturday as well. And that'll wrap up the weekend for Western Carolina University. And this week in Western, for the week of March the 7th through March the 14th. So, of course, next week we'll be back with the week of March 14th to March 21st. And, oh yeah, there's one more thing that I mentioned that you may want to check out. And if you're a future Catamount, we definitely hope you check out. And that is, of course, our open house this Saturday, March the 12th. That'll begin around 8:30 a.m. and will last until around 4 p.m. So make sure you come out if you're a potential student and check out WCU Open House. It's always a lot of fun. And we look forward to seeing you there this Saturday. We'll be right back after the break where we're going to take a look at the top 10 things. Patrick and I both will have a list of 10 things you can do to complete your Catamount bucket list for the class of 2019. So even if you're not a member of the class of 2019, it'll be a fun look of things that you can do here in the spring at Western Carolina University. We'll be back right after this quick break. Attention, future Catamounts. Our final open house of the spring semester is taking place this Saturday, March the 12th. Join us for registration beginning at 8 o'clock as our information fair will start at 8:15, and we'll have programs throughout the day, concluding around 4 p.m. Some of those programs include academic sessions, information fairs, as well as special presentations from Financial Aid, the Advising Center, the First Year Experience Office, including ASP, and much more. We hope to see you this Saturday at 8 a.m. for our final open house of the spring semester. All right, so we are back, and Patrick, this week we are talking all about the spring bucket list, or I guess we're going to be discussing all of the things we can be doing on the bucket list for the class of 2019 here in the spring semester.
That's correct, and some of these things we covered in our fall bucket list preview, but it's always nice to rehash some of the different things that are both fall and spring. Some of them don't have a timeline. That's always nice.
Right. But some of them are pretty specific for the spring. So we'll dive right in. We've each got 10.
Well, and we will go ahead and say for every student that's trying to complete the bucket list,
yes,
you can go ahead and mark number 95 off your list. Unfortunately, Color Wings is no longer in existence. So we'll count you all as having eaten at Color Wings, even if you didn't.
Yes. And if you hear the sound of our voice, you can go ahead and cross off number 86. Because you are listening to, hopefully still listening, to WCU Podcast broadcast. So just starting right at the top of the list, Patrick, we'll just go back and forth. I'm going to go in numerical order. You can go whichever order you want to. The first thing I would say for Spotlight for the spring semester is number 4, tube down the Tuckasegee. If you've never been tubing down the Tuck, it is a lot of fun. It's very unique to Western's campus to have kind of a cool place to do that and lots of other outdoor activities, which we'll discuss later in the bucket list. But number 4, tubing down the Tuck, definitely a springtime favorite. Although maybe not in early March, but
closer to
April,
May.
Yeah, late April, May, as you're getting ready before exams, go out and treat yourself to a tube down the Tuck.
Or if you're going to be here over summer sessions, go ahead and save that one for the summer sessions.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely do a show as we get closer to the summer on what it's like being up here for the summer, some of the things to do, and some of the unique opportunities Western offers with their summer students. So, but yeah, number one, or well, no, not number one on the actual bucket list.
Number one for our podcast.
Yes, number one for the spring semester is number four on the bucket list, and that's tube down the Tuckasegee.
Well, mine, my first one sort of ties right in with that. So once you get done tubing, go ahead and head over to Jack the Dipper and get some ice cream and Silva. Because you've worked so hard going floating down the river, you might as well just head on over to Jack the Dipper, get some ice cream as your reward for your hard day of work.
Yeah, and you know, I still haven't been since they reopened.
And
I guess Brittany and I have been on this diet now for, you know, since fall. And I'm still alive, maybe not as happy as I was back in August, but a little bit lighter. But yeah, so we haven't been to the new Jack the Dipper since ownership changed. And although the most important thing to know is that they still offer their world famous warm waffle cones and vanilla and cinnamon. So even if the ice cream has changed just a little bit, that waffle cone is still going to be the best you can get.
You mean that's not diet approved?
No, no. Believe it or not, there's lots of carbs in ice creams and waffle cones. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's all it is. Moving on, though, before I get real hungry in this episode. Number 10 for me, my next is number 10 on the list, which is go to East LaPorte Park, especially, again, as the semester starts to wind down. You know, you've got that onlet onto the Tuck, and you've got the volleyball courts out there. You got a couple of grills, so that's a really fun place to go and spend a Friday evening or a Saturday afternoon or evening. So that would be a really fun place that's also free. Just go out there and enjoy the weather and enjoy the company. It's usually not too crowded, but there's usually some folks around too to toss a football or play a game of volleyball with.
And if you're going to tube the Tuck, a lot of people will actually get in the water there and start tubing down the Tuck.
Yeah, definitely. It's an easy place to park and get back to and to get into the river as there's that big bank there that you can climb down in.
Speaking of things to do on Fridays and Saturday nights, number 42 on the list is one of my favorites. Going to the Fun Factory in Franklin. That's always a great group outing. Do some laser tag, go-kart racing, arcade games. For many years, we've taken our tour guides.
I'm kind of sad that we're not going. I mean, I'm excited for the change, but I'm kind of sad because I loved going to the Fun Factory with the tour guides and just destroying them in laser tag.
The best is when you tell some, you know, if you're going with people that have never played laser tag before, just remind them to wear all white or bright color clothing. Hopefully, they will listen to you, and then you show up in all black, and it's not even a contest at that point in laser tag.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And the poor tour guides did always listen to you when you told them to.
You would think after, you know, the fifth or sixth year in a row that they would stop listening to me, but thankfully they never did.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's always, I loved when people would show up in all white for that, but that's a lot of fun as well. The next thing on my list is to attend a musical in the Bardot Arts Center. And this year, the musical is coming up. It'll be April 14th, 15th, and 16th, and 17th. So basically Thursday the 14th of April through Sunday the 17th, you'll be able to check out Gypsy, which is a show about family and show business done by our great theater students here at Western. It's our main stage production of the year. Again, that's Gypsy. And tickets are available right now on TicketReturn.com and also through the Bardot Center Art Center box office at 828-227-2479. Again, that's Thursday, April the 14th through Sunday, April the 17th. Lots of opportunities there for you to check out Gypsy, which is our main show musical of the year.
And the Bardot Arts Center is just a phenomenal facility to see any show in. So be sure to check that out for all the other shows that are coming at different times throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's going to be happening in the Bardot Arts Center, it's not a musical, but that is very, very popular amongst our students, is the Controlled Chaos Film Festival. And that is going to be on Friday, April the 29th, which is the last day of the semester. And that is taking place there in the theater. And they're going to be showing the night filled with the best films written, directed, and produced by this year's film and television major students. So this is their kind of their senior thesis, if you will. And I know that that's always a really popular night as well.
Yeah, so plenty of opportunities to get out and support your fellow students this upcoming spring. So that takes us to number 47 on my list, which is participate in an intramural sport. I know this is one that's near and dear to Josh.
That's right. Go now, Cohort Crushers.
Now that we're in almost into softball season, he's trying to get me to play this year, depending on how busy my schedule turns out being.
Well, you know, Patrick, so this is your first show in, you know, 2 months, basically. So, you know, if we can get you to take a little more time for softball and a little less time for podcasting, I think we'll be in good shape.
So I might make it to one game or an inning of a game in the, you know, the spring semester.
And you know what? As long as you play and you get on the playoff roster, then if we win the championship, then that T-shirt is yours. You will have earned the intramural championship T-shirt. Your second or third, I believe you said you've won a couple of those before.
Won a few when I was a student, so it's been many, many years since I won an intramural champion shirt.
Yeah, so you're due, right? Basically. And this, we've already moved farther along than we did last year, Patrick. Patrick didn't even sign up last year. And this year we got him to create the IM Leagues account and everything. If you're interested in hearing more about intramural sports, make sure you go back and check out our episode that we did with Jonathan Johnson, who is the Associate Director of Intramurals. And you can learn a lot about that. And also our star pitcher for our team as well. So, you know, you got to have the intramural director on your team and you'll be in good shape.
Oh, always. And, you know, and it helps that when you stack the roster with some former NCAA players.
Well, you know, we do have a couple of the assistant softball coach, Daniel Glosson, is on our team, and a couple of former collegiate softball players. So a lot of people think, like, the girls are going to be the spots where you can get the outs in the intramurals. Not with our team. Our team is stacked. If anything, our men are going to struggle to
keep up with the women.
Pace that our women are going to set this year. It's going to be a lot of fun. And that'll get going here in just a couple of weeks. So make sure you sign up and you can take on the host of the podcast. We're members of the Cohort Crushers, so keep a lookout for us if you are playing intramurals this year.
And there's plenty of other intramural spring sports as well.
Definitely.
So be sure to check out online to see when the registration dates are for those and get signed up either as a team or individual, depending on what the sport is.
Yeah, if you don't have a team of people you want to play with, you can always list yourself as a free agent or request to join a team and move forward that way as well. Moving on down our list, I'm going to stop at number 21 on the bucket list. This is number 4 on my list of 10 things to do in the spring semester for the WCU bucket list. And that is going to be attend the Eye on FYE event. So there's only one time a year you can do this, Patrick, and that is this coming year. It's on April the 7th, 2016. It's from 5:30 to 7 in the Blue Ridge Conference Room, and that's the Eye on FYE First Year Experience Video Contest Awards, as well as Staff and Student Awards. So that's kind of a cool thing that Glenda Hensley works a lot with. There's a couple of different award categories. Leader Cat, Citizen Cat, Ripple Cat, Visionary Cat, Proud Cat. I don't know. Are you noticing a theme here?
I'm noticing a cat.
Mentor
theme.
Cat, Ambassador Cat, FYE Partner Cat. So.
Which is also where they unveil the Catamount photo of the freshman class, where they have taken all the cat card photos of the freshman class and
made it into a mosaic
on Paul's as a mosaic. So
I love
cat.
That thing. Yeah, so make sure you check out the Eye on FYE Awards. Again, that's going to be April the 7th, 2016, so just a little while away here, but not too long, from 5:30 to 7 in the Blue Ridge Conference Room.
So the next one on my list, and let's see here on my list, sticking with sort of the spring sports, is attend a tennis match at our Catamount Sports Complex across from Walker and Scott. The spring sports are getting into gear, and tennis is one of those sports that doesn't get a lot of fan participation at. So I know our tennis stars would love to have some fans coming out and support them at their different matches this year. You can check out their schedule online at catamountsports.com go out and support your fellow cats.
Yeah, so the tennis team again is they are 6-2 on the year, so they've had a really good year so far. And they're one of the few sports, they along with golf play a little bit in the fall. They do a couple tournaments in the fall, And then, but the main season and conference really gets going in the spring. And so, like I said, they're 6-2. They're 3-0 here at home. So, as Patrick mentioned, a huge home advantage that we'd like to bring out for our Catamount tennis team. Upcoming games include in late March, they are hosting Wofford on March the 19th at 1 p.m. Also, in April, they do have three home games on April the 6th at 3, on April the 9th at 1, and then on April the 16th, they're hosting a doubleheader against Lenoir Ryan and Limestone, and that will be the final home match of the year, and then that'll lead them into the conference tournament, which will take place the weekend of April 22nd in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Yeah, so an exciting spring schedule for the tennis team. One of our many spring sports going on, so plenty of opportunities to get out and support the Cats, either home or within the region.
Yeah, and you know what? We're just going to turn this into a little Catamount block here, I think, because my next two items on the bucket list involve Catamount athletics. We're going to go next to Catamount baseball. It's attend a baseball game, number 25 on the bucket list, in number 5 on my list. So we're halfway through our list of things we can do during the spring semester here off of your bucket list to finish that up for the class of 2019 and for those who are just wanting to live like they're the class of 2019. But the baseball team is back in action again this spring. In fact, they're 3-5 overall. They're 3-2 at home, so supporting your Cats at home is always very important. They have a couple of big games coming up, but the one I'll probably highlight the most is going to be Wednesday, March the 30th, so the end of this month. They'll be taking on Clemson right here in Cullowhee, and this will be the first time we've seen Clemson without their legendary head coach and former Catamount, Jack Leggett.
It will be, and this is always a special game for Western and Clemson. We've been playing each other for many years. There's a lot of ties between the two universities on the coaching side. And player side, for that matter. And,
definitely.
Always, as you know, it's always great when you can have a yearly rivalry of this magnitude, especially in a sport for two teams that are in such different conferences between the Southern Conference and the ACC. Yet every year we're playing one another in baseball, home and away, and it's just a nice tradition to have and keep going.
And, you know, Patrick, there's a lot of really fun games coming up this year. You know, I highlighted that Clemson game on March 30th. That's going to be on a Wednesday. Another Wednesday game later in the year, Wednesday, April the 20th, we'll be taking on Virginia Tech, another ACC opponent. And so this is unlike, you know, some of the other sports where you will see an occasional game. We actually do play full series with some of these folks. For example, we're going to go to Big 12 opponent Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas for a weekend series in late March. So shout out to my sister-in-law who is in vet school at Kansas
State.
Just getting
all the family roped in today.
I'm dropping and getting ready to drop my brother too, because right after the Catamounts go to Kansas State to take on the Wildcats, they will head from Manhattan, Kansas to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to take on the Tar Heels. So if you are a Catamount in the middle of the state of North Carolina and you can't come to Cullowhee for a game, then check us out on the road as we're going to be in Chapel Hill Tuesday, March 22nd, taking on the Tar Heels. And make sure you look up into the press box, and if you see the less good-looking version of me, that's my little brother, Brett. He'll be covering the team for Inside Carolina, and I'm sure he appreciates that little jab as well. But the Catamounts looking forward to bouncing back this year and really having another strong season year in and year out. Our Catamount baseball team is truly one of the shining examples of great Catamount athletics.
They are, and you know, that kind of ties in with our next shining example of Catamount athletics on my list. Ties in at number 67, which is attend a track meet. Track and field, always an exciting group, especially when it comes time for those conference championships. If we're not number one, we're number two almost every year, it seems.
Yeah, and there's two events that are going to be taking place this spring here in Cullowhee. The first is the Binion Sports Catamount Classic, which is going to be taking place Friday, April 15th and Saturday, April 16th. Those are going to be going on all day, so the morning through the afternoon, you'll be able to see all the different track and field events. The three events. We also have the WCU Invitational, which is just a one-day event, which is going to be on Friday, April the 29th. And then the big exciting news, I guess, for track and field this year is that we are hosting the Southern Conference Championships Thursday, May the 12th, and Friday, May the 13th. So make sure you come out and support your Catamounts as we look to jump from indoor triple back-to-back-to-back indoor champions and grab another outdoor crown. And it will be our first home championship in ages. We haven't hosted the track and field conference championship in a while, so it'd be really neat to for our seniors and a lot of our track and field athletes to win that one on their home turf.
It will be, and for the indoor, that was the men's, not the women, unfortunately. Yes. So the men yes. won indoor. Hopefully they can both pull off the win at home.
We'd love to sweep in color. We have Catamounts win both in men and women's track and field championships.
And we have such a phenomenal track and field facility. It is one of the favorite spots for the SoCon tournament for track and field. I know that it's considered every year. If there wasn't a rotation, it would probably be in color more often.
Yeah, well, it's always in May. It's always beautiful weather. It's not boiling hot, you know, like if you were down in a Charleston or somewhere like that. But it's such a great facility here that we're glad that the Southern Conference will be able to come up here and you'll be able to see some really special athletes, as that is one of the things the Southern Conference is most known for, is really strong track and field programs. To close out our athletic block of four bucket list items for you to do, we're going to go back to the diamond, except this time we're going to go to the softball diamond instead of the baseball. Our softball team is off to their best start in school history. And this, Patrick, is without having played a single home game yet. They are 12-5 to start the year. They're 3-3 in true away games and 9-2 in neutral games. And that is before there's a weekend tournament going on right now that they're involved in. And there's a couple of big-time teams that they're playing. In fact, just a couple of days ago, on March the 1st, they played South Carolina, which is a fantastic team there. It was broadcast on the SEC Network, so that was kind of cool. And they only lost 1-0. So I really, really hung with the SEC team.
Not a
SEC
bad showing, really close.
And then unfortunately, just lost a game against the University of Georgia Bulldogs, another really close game that they dropped 5-2, but led in the fourth inning. In softball, only play 7, which I'm sure a lot of you guys know. And if you don't, now you know. They were leading in the fourth inning 2-1, and then Georgia's offense really came to life in the later stages there. But our softball team has played phenomenally well. To be able to compete against those SEC teams is very, very impressive, and I think it'll be really fun to watch them move forward into conference play, where you can find them. Their longest stretch of the season at home is going to be a 8-game homestand that'll take place from March 29th through April the 10th. So if you happen to have a chance to check us out, we have, like I said, a good 10 games at home there, and that'll be the best time to check out our Catamount softball team. And then they'll have one more series in late May, right after or right around graduation, where they take on the Mercer Bears before they travel to Greensboro, North Carolina, at UNC Greensboro to play in the Southern Conference Championships May the 11th to the 14th.
And also exciting note for the softball team is the first weekend of April, when they have the homestand. That's also when they are going to honor the 10th anniversary of women's softball at WCU, and they are going to have back the original team from that first year when we went all the way to the NCAA tournament in our inaugural season.
Well, the
Southern Conference tournament, and came within a game of making it to the NCAA tournament that inaugural season.
Yeah, they had a really special year. They had a great regular season. The first year we ever have a team, we won the conference championship. We've not won a conference championship since, but I was the PA announcer for that group when I was a student here, and there were some really great girls that played for us then, including Lauren Ross, Mindy McKenzie. I'm trying to think of a couple. We've got Cubby and Savannah Philly. And a bunch of really, really Ashley Adams, I think, still has the home run record for Catamount softball. So there were so many great players on that team that it'll be really fun to see them back. They really set the standard high, and the softball team has never been able to match what they've done until
this year.
And we're hoping to see maybe during that homestand we'll be able to see our own softball team crowned softball champions again for the first time since that inaugural season back in 06.
That would be wonderful to see. Now switching gears out of Catamount Athletics and going underground, you could say. Since you're going to the softball game, might as well go ahead and check off number 79 on your list and go through the tunnel underneath the four lane right there between the softball stadium and what is known as the NCAT facility on the other side of the four lane. It's a unique little piece of our campus that not many students know about, so go ahead and take a hike through the little tunnel there and check that one off your list.
Patrick, it's almost like we planned these things.
You would think we planned it.
Because you talk about taking a hike, and while walking under under the bridge to NCAT is a little bit of a hike, my next thing is going to be number 51 on your bucket list, which would be hike to Paradise Falls. Now, that is a little bit longer of a hike, but it is a beautiful hike, and if you've never been up to Paradise Falls, it's definitely, there's a reason it's on the bucket list, is because it's really, really great. So make sure you check that out as well as we do move forward in the spring. And there's never a more beautiful time than to go check out Paradise Falls in March, April, May.
And, you know, speaking of beauty in the spring, it's also when number 93 on the list, when you can take a road trip along the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's only a matter of time until the Blue Ridge Parkway opens back up for the spring. You know, it's a beautiful drive in the fall when you can see the leaves and everything, but it's also a really pretty drive in the spring when everything's starting to bloom and you have flowers everywhere, fields of wildflowers all throughout the area. So it's a great way to sort of get away for the day or weekend and just sort of drive along the parkway and explore a little bit more of Western North Carolina.
Patrick, is there a favorite? Do you have a favorite area in that Blue Ridge Parkway that you enjoy going to?
My area would actually it'd pretty much be the area between Balsam and Asheville. It's a really scenic area, although the area between Balsam and Cherokee is beautiful as well. You know, yes, it is also pretty up in that other part where there's another school located that's black and yellow, but we won't talk about that area. We'll stick to the Asheville South area.
There's an old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, then don't talk about Appalachian State.
There we go.
No. But yeah, so there's a couple of really beautiful spots on there. I know Brittany's been crushing me to get out there and explore the Blue Ridge Parkway a little bit more.
So maybe you can
check
that one off your list a little further this year.
Yeah, let's hope so. Or for her sake, I know she's hoping so as well. As we move forward, one of our probably our most well-known or one of the most things that we're most famous for here at Western Carolina is the nation's largest single-day river cleanup, which is the Tuck River Cleanup. And that'll be Saturday, April the 16th. Registration will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. They'll also be transporting to the river from 11 to 1 and then back from the river from 3 to 5 p.m. And then they'll have free food and entertainment set up on the UC lawn after that for all of the volunteers. It's such a great day. The first 600 participants will get a free t-shirt with the from Base Camp Cullowhee. It's going to be a lot of fun. Patrick, do you have any favorite memories from the Tuck River cleanup?
I don't. I was more on the side of helping get everything set up for Tuck River cleanup usually whenever I volunteered to help. So I was never one of the ones going down the river. So I was doing more of the work around the UC and making sure things were moving smoothly there at the UC.
Yeah, and there's one thing if you are going to participate that you need to look for, right? And that is the train wreck from the set of The Fugitive. The trains are still out there on the bank of the Tuck. So as you raft down the river and you're cleaning up, make sure if you see train stuff, that is actually the actual set and the actual trains used in The Fugitive. If you haven't seen that movie, I know it's a little older now, so some of our newer freshmen or potential students may not have seen it. Fugitive is a great movie starring Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones, even has a cameo from head coach Mark Spear as a young detective or a young officer. You'll see him over Tommy Lee Jones' shoulder as they search frantically for Harrison Ford. But what a great and cool thing that is uniquely WCU.
It is, and you know, that's a great movie and one of a number of movies that have been filmed in this area. And we've sort of highlighted some of those through our previous episodes, so always check out any movies that highlight this area that we live in. We have everything from action movies to comedy to drama. So a wide array of movies that feature the beautiful Great Smoky Mountain National Park, as well as local communities.
Yeah, there is a and there's a couple of movies that are going to be coming to town, actually. They've just announced recently that there will be a movie starring, I forget the actress's name, but she won an Oscar for her award for her work in Fargo, which is a very popular movie that actually just became a TV show, originally on FX, I think, and she's going to be in town in their changing Sassafras in downtown Silva will be converted into an old school police station, and they're also shooting in parts of Jackson County. The ABC, you know how the big thing now, Patrick, is to film musicals and air those when you don't want to have, I guess, programming on, or you don't want to pay for real expensive programming. You just do these musicals. Grease was just a big hit over the holidays for NBC, and ABC is doing one of those, and it's going to be Dirty Dancing.
Ooh, that'll be an exciting
one. And that is going to be filmed right here, and a part of that's going to be filmed in Jackson County. So that'll be a really cool thing that you'll be able to look for this summer, or this spring and the summer as well, when talking about kind of movie stuff. A little bit off topic there, but I thought that was cool. Cool things to mention.
Never.
Yeah, I know, right? Matt, back on topic though, I believe it's my turn again. No, actually, you know what? The Tuck River cleanup was me, so I think it's your turn.
Yeah, we skip over to my turn, and speaking of skipping over, we'll jump to the following weekend after Tuck River cleanup, which is our Greening Up the Mountains event in downtown Silva. So this is a great opportunity to get out, enjoy some local craft vendors and food vendors that are set up in downtown Silva for the annual Cleaning Up the Mountains event, part of sort of the spring nature events that are going on throughout the region, and a great opportunity just to sort of connect with people in the area, as well as you can also check off that one item on the list of walking up and down Main Street Silva, so you can get a 2-for-1 on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my favorite things to do is to walk around downtown Silva. And then, you know, once you're 21, there's a lot of fun places to stop in downtown Silva as well. If you're ever curious, Brittany has a plan that you can do for those who are above the age of 21 and the walking, drinking tour of Silva.
Brittany has a fun plan for the walking, drinking tour of Silva.
You know, maybe we should do a show that we'll just broadcast as for adults, like over the age of 21, for alumni. And for older current students, that we'll talk a little bit about some of the fun places you can go and have an adult beverage, if you will. I don't know. We have to clear that one through the big guy first. So
I'm sure we could make that one fly.
But moving right along, one of the next things is to participate in Relay for Life. Is going to be taking place in April. As of right now, I have not found an exact date for that, but it will be taking place in mid-April this year. But they're still hammering out a final date for that. But always important to get involved in Relay for Life. And we have such a great setup there at the UC Lawn that they used to do. And they've also done it down at the Catamount Athletic Complex where the soccer and the track field are. So there's a lot of unique places that has been done on Western's campus. It'll be fun to see where it takes place this year.
It will be. If you're wanting to start getting in shape for Relay for Life and getting your workout on, might as well go ahead and go out and on number 75 play the entire disc golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. If you need to get in shape for Relay for Life, that's a great way to do it. Be better at frisbee than I am.
I couldn't do it.
There's that water hazard behind Norton that is the if you are not opposed to climbing in really dirty water, you could go probably find a good 20 to 30 disc golf discs at any given time in there. I know my my brother-in-law actually did climb in there and got about 5 or 6 one day. But he's much more of he would enjoy that a lot more than I would.
Yeah, I think I'll skip climbing.
No, I'm not getting in that water. You couldn't pay me enough money. But moving right along for that, Patrick, is our final two now, is what we're down to here. So my 10th and final thing for students to do in the spring for their bucket list is going to be attend the International Festival. And that's always so much fun at Western. I feel like sometimes people don't realize how many different international countries and cultures are represented in students here that are studying abroad here at Western Carolina University. But that is going to be taking place, the 37th Annual International Festival, Wednesday, April the 13th from 11 to 2:30 on the UC lawn. Join us as we, WATE, celebrate the world. If you're interested in participating in the festivities, contact Becky Blinken. Becky Blinkitney at RRBLENKITNI at WCU.
And you gotta say her name just the way that Josh does whenever you introduce yourself to her.
Yes, but yeah, no, that'll be a lot of fun. I know that there's always, my favorite thing about the International Festival is, of course, food. Right?
Of course.
There is a ton of great and different food that's made by folks who live in those countries, and it's a great way to learn about culture, especially if you have kiddos and you're in this area. It's a great way to kind of educate your kids about the different countries represented here at Western as well.
And so bringing us to my final one on the list, and it's only fitting that this one would take place in an election year when politics seems to be everywhere you turn. And that would be voting in your SGA election. If you want your voice heard as a student, either it's time for you to run as an officer in SGA, or more importantly, vote for those that are running it for an office. I never did it as a student, but I had several friends that were involved in SGA in some capacity. And so it's a great way to make sure that the student voice is heard throughout the administration.
Absolutely. SGA is such a vital part of our campus community and making sure that students are heard on everything from, you know, what parking fines and tuition and fee increases to restaurants that are going to go into the Noble Hall or into Brown. And it's just such an important part of Western. And if you feel strongly and passionately about the direction of this university, there's not a more impactful way you can, as a student, you can get involved than with SGA. I know that my friend Hank Henderson was in my Band of Brothers class when he was a freshman. We'll be finishing up his year as SGA president as elections will be taking place over the next few weeks. So that is awesome to get involved like that and to really make sure that you leave a mark on Western's campus.
And speaking of leaving a mark on Western's campus and especially Noble Hall, we'll have some exciting news in an upcoming podcast about the type of businesses that will be located in Noble Hall for this upcoming year. Some of it has been released already, but we'll wait until all of the ink has dried so that we can release all the information.
Yeah, absolutely. There have been three or four businesses that were officially confirmed yesterday by the Western Carolina account. And so what we're going to do is once the Every Space in Noble Hall is officially under contract, Patrick and I will bring you a special edition of the podcast where we discuss all of the new and awesome things that you guys will get to experience
and knowing
at the bottom of Noble Hall.
And knowing the insider information that we do from working in student affairs, it's going to be some exciting news with some upcoming announcements about Noble Hall.
Yeah, we can't wait to maybe we can talk Keith Corzine. I know he's not a speech guy or a talking guy, but maybe we could talk Keith Corzine into coming on the show and talking to us a little bit about Noble Hall there.
That would be exciting, and I'm sure he'd have a lot of things to update us about, as well as with the renovations of Brown.
Definitely. So, Keith, if you're listening, you've been committed to an episode now. It's too late. You can't get out of it. Hopefully you still like us after it's all said and done. But those are some of the things you have to look forward to coming up on the WCU podcast over the next few weeks. We hope you've enjoyed our format change. We think it'll be a great way to keep you informed on all of the things that are happening at Western, not just on a weekly basis or on a spotlight basis, but covering kind of all of our bases. And I think moving forward, the listeners, you will benefit most from that format change, and we hope you've enjoyed it so far.
Yes, and thank you all for listening, especially any feedback that you have about whether you like the change or if you preferred the old format. We're open to all forms of feedback, so don't hesitate to send us a message on Facebook so that we can make sure that we're catering our format and the type of information that we're sharing with you to what you're wanting and hoping to get out of these podcasts.
Another special thanks. We have been tracking, thanks to our friend Neil Torta over in IT, we've kind of discovered, you know, how to track downloads and all that kind of thing. I want to say thank you. 200 downloads in the month of February. So hopefully we'll make that, we'll go forward and double that or maintain that pace and keep bringing you the absolute best in news and content for Western Carolina University.
And a special shout out thank you to Sarah Cox and Reed Ogden for filling in for me the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've had a couple of shows. Again, we're happy to have Patrick back, and we think we're going to have him back for a little while before we send him out on location again to do this actual thing called admissions work. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I don't know much about that either.
But for Patrick Frazier, who is back, and we're glad about that. This is Josh Thompson. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next Monday. And as always, go Cats!